Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
You know, I just sense in my spirit, not to be weird or anything like that. It isn't weird. It's the Holy Ghost speaking. There's someone here today and you're just struggling with that. God, does God love me? Does anybody love me? Just saying, you said recently to yourself and maybe somebody else, nobody loves me. Well, you're in the right place at the right time today, because I'm here to tell you there's a God who loves you more than you could ever even imagine. He loves you so much that he literally gave his life for you. He loves you so much that he stepped out of heaven for you. That's how much God loves you. And when you hear that, you immediately say, yeah, but. You want to bring up all of you. And God's saying, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. God loves us in spite of us. God loves us regardless. It doesn't matter if you robbed a bank, smoked crack, and killed somebody on the way in here. Those are bad things. But God still loves you. Amen. There is nothing that disqualifies us from the love of God. Nothing. Nothing. God's love is not like people love. God's love is eternal. It is everlasting. It is unchanging. And it will fill you if you let it. God loves you. He is for you, not against you. And he wants you to know that you are who he came for. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your love, Lord. Thank you for your mercy. And mercy means that God's going to give me what I need, not what I deserve. You may not feel deserving of God's love, and really none of us are, but he gives it to us anyway. He gives it to us anyway. You might not deserve any help, but you're going to get it anyway. You might not deserve any power, but you're going to get it anyway. Because that's God's mercy. That's God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Say this with me. Say, God loves me. Just like I am. God loves me, no matter what. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, as we hear your word today, we declare that it penetrates deep within our hearts. It brings health to our body. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Why don't you say hi to somebody? Tell them you're glad to see them today. Glory, 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 and double glory. Amen. All right. I tell you what, I'm excited to be in church today. You always know it's going to be a good day when you open your Bible and there's money in it. I still got 10 bucks in here from last week. It's blessed money. All right. Well, I'm excited to be here today because I love to be in church. I love church. And you say, well, that's you love church because you're the pastor. No, I love church because church is the body of Christ. Amen. This is all of us together. This is a place that strengthens us, helps us. We learn, we learn here, we grow here, we connect here, we love one another here, we encourage one another here. That's what church is all about. And you know, I know that church sometimes it gets a bad rap, like, oh, church is filled with hypocrites, or church is filled. Listen, church is filled with hurting people, and that's how it's supposed to be. Amen. Church is filled with imperfect people, and that's how it's supposed to be. Church is filled with people who need help, and that's how it's supposed to be. And if it wasn't like that, none of us could come, right? You know, everybody's like, oh, you know, that church has got this and that. Well, you know, every church has that because that's where we are. That's what we deal with. We're people. We got issues, right? Look at your neighbor and say, you got issues. You've been wanting to tell that person that forever. Now look at the other person you don't think has as many issues and say, you do too, right? You do too. All right, here we go. Can you believe that it is March 19th, right? It is amazing. This year is going by so quickly, it seems. But God's got big stuff for this year. We know that. Every year is just a great opportunity for God to show himself big and strong. And so we talked last week, and if you weren't here, I'll help you out and give you a slight review, okay? We talked last week about order determines capacity. Order determines capacity. There is power in what you put first. And so we talked last week about how powerful it is to put God first in our finances and in our life. And it matters because first is important. How many know who won the Super Bowl last year? Does anyone here know? Right? Who was it? Was it the Dolphins? No. We know. We can name gold medalists. We can name. Why? Because they were first. They were first. And so what's first is important. It matters. And what we put first matters greatly. Turn over in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Verses 31 through 33, such a powerful portion of scripture. Scott and I often say that this is our life verse, Matthew 6, 33, it's our life verse. When we were dating, 100 years ago, seems that way, we were talking yesterday, and it was actually nearly 25 years ago. Isn't that amazing? It's amazing that somebody could put up with me that long. It amazes me. It's amazing. But we were talking, and when we first started dating, we had both dated the wrong way. Maybe you're in here today and you say, me too. We had both dated the wrong way, and so we decided that we wanted to do it the right way this time because we wanted it to work. And so we were not as mature, obviously, in the Lord as we are now. 25 years can do something to you. But we got a hold of Matthew 6:33, and we put it on stickers, we put it on papers, it was everywhere you looked in our lives, it was there. It was on the refrigerator, it was on the steering wheel, it was everywhere. You didn't have cell phones back then. I know, that time existed. And so we would just have it everywhere because we knew that if we didn't put God first, we would fall back into old lifestyle. And we didn't want to do that. And so everywhere, it was hard to make wrong moves and be in the wrong place when in the car, all over the front dashboard is, seek first the kingdom of God. It's kind of like you want to But you can't do that. So single people, this is a good idea for you to put that everywhere. And so we saw it. And so all through our lives and through being married, we've always made an attempt and done our best to put God first. Because order determines capacity. Amen? We determined that we wanted a godly marriage. We wanted a marriage that we both, read about and heard about, but we'd never really seen. And that's what we wanted. And the only way to get those things is to do it God's way. That's the only way that works. If you want God's blessings and you want the power of God and the blessing of God, you got to do things God's way. And so here in Matthew 6:31, we're going to start. He says, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans, and pagans are people who have no understanding of God. They have no God in their life, not the right God. And for the pagans run after all these things. And so I want to ask us today, what are we running after? If someone were to look at our life, would they say, that's a pagan? Because they're running after stuff. Stuff is not bad, and you're going to see that in a second. It's not bad. But when I run after it, before I run after God, then I got things way out of order. And when people look at our lives, I would want to know, man, what do they see me as a pagan or as a believer? Because they said, for the pagans run after all these things. That's pretty tough to hear, right? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. God knows what you need. And here's some really good news. God even knows what you want. Amen? He says, for your heavenly Father knows what you need, knows that you need them. And then he says this, but seek first his kingdom. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be given to you as well. He's saying, listen, God knows you know, he knows you need these things. He knows even that you want these things, because the Bible says that God will give you the desire of your heart. God knows what's in you. He knows what you want. He knows what you want to do. He knows what you want to be. Amen? But he says, don't run after that first. Run after Jesus first. Amen? And it says his kingdom. When you're in a king's kingdom, what do you got to do? Got to do it the king's way. What he says goes. We've all seen those movies where the king is like, so it be written, so it be done, you know? And a king is not a president, right? A president's got to go through this person and this person and Congress and the Senate and the federal judges and the laws. A king just says, this is how it is. And that's, Jesus is the King of Kings. And if I'm going to seek his kingdom, then I'm going to say, Lord, you are my king. I'm going to do it your way. It's his kingdom. It's his authority. I'm going to say, Lord, I'm going to seek your authority in my life. You are the final word for me. You are the director. You are the boss. You are the king, because this is your kingdom. And so when it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, I'm going to seek God and I'm going to seek his way of doing things. So often we want to have all the blessings of God, but we want to do it our way. And how many know that's not how it works? Let's all say it like we like to say it. That's not how this works. That's not how any of this works. And that's true. And God is telling us right here, he's like, and so often people think I have to exchange one for the other. If I seek God, I won't get the things I need and want. That is a lie from the pit. God says he knows you need them. And if you seek his kingdom and his righteousness, he will add. Don't you love the word add? He will add those things. But order determines capacity. We got to get things in the right order in order for the addition to come. I don't know about you, but I like addition. I like additional money. I like additional peace. I like additional stuff. There's nothing wrong with that. But I want to make sure I got my priorities in order. And so I got a little illustration here for you that we're going to do. Harley bag. This is was laying on my table this morning. Nothing wrong with a Harley bag. All right, I'm gonna need a lovely assistant. Pastor Angel, will you be my lovely assistant, please? My Vanna, that's what we call it in youth group. My Vanna White. All right, now this represents our life. And this is all the stuff. This is like Facebook. For a lot of you, Facebook's like all the way up to here. Right? Or Twitter, or Instagram, Snapchat, you know, higher, you think it's higher? You know, this is all that stuff that just kind of happens. I saw a funny meme and it said, recipe for black chicken, season chicken, put chicken in the oven, and go on Facebook. And it was just completely burnt chicken, you know? But the thing is that these are things like TV, just stuff that's like, it's okay in its place, but if we're not careful, you know, it takes up a lot of our life. Now, in our Harley bag, we've got important stuff. We've got God, right? He goes in here. We got, you know, family. Let's put this one in first. Right? We got our work. We got, you know, relationships with friends. We got, you know, growing and proving ourselves. You know, everybody's like, oh, I want a great job. Well, what are you doing to get that? You know? I'm watching Oprah. You know, that's not how that works, right? You know, so often people say, man, I want to be in the ministry. I'm like, well, you know, did you go to school? Oh no, but I love Jesus. Listen, it's great that you love Jesus, but you need to go to school. You need to get a foundation. You need to have the word, right? You got to have that. And so let's put that there. But this is how a lot of times our, holy smokes, there's even another one in here. This is how a lot of times our lives, anyone's like, I don't even have time for that, you know? People say, let's say this is exercise. You know, I don't have, that's exercise.
That one in the bag.
Yeah, we'll just leave that one in the bag. You know we need it. We know it's important, but it's like, so, you know, we could say these are like, what are important things in our life? Reading the Bible, right? Spending time with our family. Listen, you know, visiting with your, you know, for us people my age, you know, your parents. You know, your parents are important because, you know, our parents are getting older, and maybe you don't have your parent, or you have one, or you don't have the other, but, you know, it's important that we spend time with them. Amen. Amen? It's important that we honor them. And so, but we say, oh, I don't have time for that. I don't have time. Some other thing, you know, continuing our education, growing up in the things of God, ministry. You know, we're called to ministry. Some people are like, oh, I'm called to ministry, but you don't want to do ministry until you get paid for it. That's not how it works. Amen? That's not how it works at all. We're all called to the ministry, amen, all of us. And so we're like, man, I want to do these. Or maybe you're here and you're like, I got a book I want to write, but I don't have time. But this is how our life works, because order determines capacity. So let's do it right. All right, now, Pastor Angel, I need your help here. I did this earlier. You got to use a piece of paper. So let's pour it all back in, and we're going to get a fresh start. Pour it in here. We're just going to do a fresh start. Put our life back, and let's just do a redo, a fresh start, redo. I love a fresh start. Right off it. Well, hopefully it'll fit. All right, here we go. We'll leave a little Facebook in there for, because we don't want to. All right, so we're gonna do this. We're gonna do this right. So we're gonna put God in here, right? You nervous? We're gonna put important stuff, our family. We're gonna put exercise. We'll put it in here, right? We're gonna put, you know, growing, getting continuing our education. We're going to put, you know, spending time with our parents, spending time with our families. We're going to put, you know, reading the Bible every day. We're going to put that all in there. So now we got all the important stuff in. And so often everybody thinks, oh, if I do that, I don't have any time for fun. If I do that, I don't have any time for this. But this represented the fun, right? This represented like all the frivolous stuff that, you know, we could get by with. All right, you ready? Let's pour it in there. Let's see what happens. You guys are nervous, I can tell. You're like, I don't think it's going to fit. I don't think it's going to fit. Look at that. And look, what's amazing is we even have more room. You know, the enemy has you fooled that you don't have time to serve in the body of Christ. The enemy has you fooled and thinking you don't have time for a sincere walk with God. He's got you fooled that all that other stuff is going to fill you up. But it doesn't. It doesn't fill you. Because one thing about like all of this, it doesn't have the same fulfillment as the big stuff. People are living their lives just filled with the little stuff. And then they're wondering, oh, I don't feel this, and I don't this, and I don't that. It's like, baby, you don't have the big rocks in you. You don't have the big rocks in you. You're never going to feel complete and filled and full and happy and filled with joy and feel like your life matters until you get the big rocks in you. Because God matters. Family matters. Church matters. What you do, your job matters. You're in the marketplace. God can use you in a mighty way in the marketplace. Amen? God can use you. He wants to use you. These big things matter. But if we're not careful, all we're going to be filled with is TV, sports, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, the news. We're just going to be filled with all that. And then we're going to wonder, how come I don't feel like my life is mattering? It's because you don't have the big rocks. And don't let the enemy fool you that you don't have time for them. You have time. Order determines capacity. You can have all the big rocks and all the fun stuff too. But you got to put it in the right order. Amen? And so we're going to talk today about the order of things. And here's something that we need to know. I'm just going to give you a few things about order, because order is important. You know, a lot of people, they come to church and they just want to come in and, you know, everybody do whatever they want and sing kumbaya all the time or whatever. You know, they're like, oh, you know, I don't really like structure. Well, then you don't like the church that God designed. Amen? Because God designed the church with structure. God designed the church with order. The Bible says that God likes things decently and in order. Amen? Even when, like last week in second service, we had a Holy Ghost service, and you may not sense the order, but the order is there. It just looks differently. Amen? And in Revelation chapter 2, verses 2 and 4, we're going to look that the order of your life, it communicates priority. It communicates priority. What's important to you? And Revelation chapter 2, verses 2 and 4 says, I know your deeds, your hard work and your perseverance, yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Talking about what is first in your life matters. God says, listen, I know what you're doing. I know your deeds. So anybody you think you're hiding something from God, it doesn't work like that. God knows. He says, I know your deeds, and he says, I know your hard work and your perseverance. See, some people, all they have is a work rock. All you got's a work rock, and you're working hard, and you're persevering, but you still don't feel that completeness on the inside. It's because you're missing, number one, the most important rock, and that's God, and number two, your family. When God made the world, he did it in a specific order. He made Adam, then he made Eve, and then they had a family. There is significance in that order. And then they went to work. And so we can't, God said, listen, I know you're working hard. I know you're persevering. You're not giving up. You're going to it. But yet I hold this against you. He says, you've forsaken your first love. You've gotten away from the things of God, the way of God, the will of God, the house of God. This is our first love. God is our first love. So order communicates priority. And I told you last week that word priority, it's when it originally was introduced into the English language, it did not have a plural. There's really no such thing as priorities. You have one priority. It's what is most important in your life. And God's saying, listen, order communicates priority. The next point I want to make is that order impacts the rest. And we just saw that. Order determines capacity. The order in which you do things determines how much capacity you're going to have. And he says, Proverbs 3, 6 through 10 says, in all your ways acknowledge him. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. When we first looked at this, I know some of you guys are probably nervous, like, I don't think that's going to fit. I don't think it's going to fit. But when you do it the right way, even more will fit. There's extra space here for more stuff. You know, so I remember talking to a young person one time, and we were talking about finances, and they just, They said, I just can't grasp giving God any of my money. I just don't understand what is that going to do? We learned last week that the purpose of tithing, how many remember? The purpose of tithing is to teach you to always put the Lord first. So what that scripture tells me is one thing, I have to learn to put God first. When I got born again, it didn't just automatically happen, right? How many wish that when you got born again, you'd instantly know all the books of the Bible, where everything was, you'd have a perfect understanding of all things scriptural, right? But it doesn't work that way. I have to learn to put God first. And so the Bible tells me that the purpose of tithing, the purpose of giving that first fruit, the purpose, and it's not just with money, it's my time, it's my talent, it's my treasure, it's me, amen? The purpose of doing that is to teach me to put God first. Because how many know there is a big competition for God's place in your life? There is a lot of competition. You know, there's 100 things we could all be doing today instead of putting God first here on a Sunday morning. But yet we're here, we're saying, no, Lord, you come first. You come first, amen? And so order communicates priority. The order in which you do things, it shows what's most important to you. You know, I know my husband loves me, but I tell you what, if everything was in front of me, more important than me, had priority over me, we'd have to have a discussion. Because that's just, it wouldn't be right. It wouldn't be right. But yet we do it to God all the time, don't we? We do it to the Lord all the time. Order communicates the priority. Order impacts the rest. Remember Matthew 6:33, when you seek God first, not when we have time, not with whatever's left, but first. First. When we do that, then everything else is added to us. And I don't have to be superficial where all I have is the small stuff. I can be someone who is complete because I got all the big rocks and all the other stuff. Amen? And so when we're looking at these big rocks, you got to decide for yourself what your big rocks are. You got to make that decision. The Lord tells us some of them are givens. Obviously, God is our big rock. Amen? He is our big rock. Our marriages are a big rock. Our family is a big rock. Our church is a big rock. Our jobs is a big rock. Ministry that we have, other things that God is adding on and telling us to do. Those are big rocks. But I want to talk to you today, and this might sound familiar. A lot of this comes from a book that's not even a Christian book. But every time I read this book, I just recognize the power of God in it. And it's a book called First Things First. It's a powerful book. It's written by Stephen Covey. He's the guy who does all the Franklin planners, and he passed away years ago. But it is the power of order. The power of order. I can't tell you how many times I've had couples in my office sitting across from my desk and just broken and hurting and people that love each other. I mean, they love each other, but they are broken and they've hurt one another and now bitterness has set in and people that truly love one another now are so broken that it's gonna take a whole lot of work to get them back to a place of reconciliation. And so often, so many times, the problem is things are out of order. Things are out of order. We can trace back, and any problem that you have, you can always backstep a little bit, and you will find the problem. But so often, it's people that are plugged in. They're seeking God. They're doing the God thing, so to speak. And then this happens, and priorities get whacked. And then suddenly, you don't see them as much because your relationship with church represents your relationship with God, whether you like it or not. It is truth. If you don't have time for church, you don't have time for God. And I know that rubs people the wrong way, but God instituted the church for a purpose. He gave his life for the church for a purpose. It's the one thing he said he was building was the church. And when we say we don't have time for it, Man, that's you're saying you don't have time for what God says you need to make time for. But these couples, what happens is suddenly, you know, prayer's not important. God's not important. They stop spending time with God. And as you do that, man, the order gets off. And when the order gets off, it just has a ripple effect all the way down. And it shakes the foundation of you all the way down. Next thing you know, you're sitting and you're broken and you're hurt and you're saying, I don't know how this happened. And there's me and I'm saying, I know how it happened because you got the order wrong. You got to put things in the right order. Order determines capacity. Order determines priority. Order affects the rest. I'll tell you, if you're a dad in here, if you're a man in here, you have got to be the head of your house. Because when you're not, the order is out of whack. And that's the head spiritually. That's the head. And that doesn't mean you're like the head barking orders. No, the head loves his wife like Christ loves the church. So often men are like, she needs to submit. And I'm just like, she will naturally submit. Listen, your wife will naturally, lovingly submit when you love her like the church. The love comes first. Love doesn't come before submission. And so many men want that. It's like, my wife won't submit. You know, she needs to do what I say. That's not how that works, first of all. But, you know, that's a whole nother lesson. I don't know why we're over here. That's a whole nother lesson. But it's the order. You got to have the order right. You know, it's statistically proven when the man of the house gets born again and serves God, it affects the generations. It affects the generations. A woman, listen, I'm all for woman power. Woo, woman power. But we don't have the same effect. That's just the truth. Why? Because the order's off. Now, we have an impact, but when the man of the house, some of you are like, what? When the man of the house gets born again and serves God, the whole family comes. This is statistically proven. You can Google it. And it affects more and more and more generations. But when only the wife, only the mom, and not the husband, it has an impact. It has an impact. Don't get me wrong. It has a huge impact. So you ladies that are coming by yourself, you keep coming because you're making an impact. And you don't know when that switch is going to flip for your husband. So you keep coming. Amen? But the impact is not the same. Why? Because the order. Order affects the rest. Amen? And so when we see this, we got to decide what our big rocks are. In Proverbs 17:24, it says, an intelligent person, look at your neighbor and just kind of give him a look like, I don't know. Here's hoping. An intelligent person, we all want to be intelligent, right? Well, then this is what we got to do. An intelligent person aims at wise action. So if you want to be an intelligent person, aim at wise action. What is the wisest thing you can do? Put God first. That's it. Put God first. It says, an intelligent person aims at wise action, but a fool starts off in many directions. A fool is all over the place. But an intelligent person aims at wise action. And here's a statement. If you can't, man, punch this into your phone. If you'll grab a hold of this, it can help you so much. This is one of the most powerful statements I've ever heard. I say it a lot. I say it to myself a lot because, you know, I got areas in my life. You got areas in your life, and it's this. The distance between the truth you know and the truth you live equals the pain you experience. I'll say it again. The distance between the truth you know. How many know we need to put God first? How many know going to church is important? How many know getting the word in us is important? How many know praying in the spirit, praying is important? We know that. But here's the thing. We all know. We know the truth about the power of prayer. right? We know the truth about the power of prayer. But if we were to be honest, God says, I know your deeds. How much are we really praying? How much are we really praying? Because listen, here's what is not prayer. Complaining is not prayer. Stating the facts is not prayer. Thinking about something is not prayer. Worrying about something is not prayer. That is not prayer. When I think about you, that does not mean I'm praying for you. Praying for someone is different. Praying about something is different. Prayer, in its simplest definition, is communication with God. Prayer of faith is communicating with God with a belief of the word of God. That's prayer. And so we know the power of prayer. We know it. We know the truth of it. But yet there are so many believers who live, and there's a book called this, very good book. It's called Christian Atheist. You know the truth of God, but you live as if God doesn't exist because there's no prayer, no word, no confession, no church, no releasing your faith, no speaking the word, but you're like, oh, I'm a believer. And that's great you're a believer. But you're going to experience a whole lot more pain because the truth you know and the truth you live, the distance between those is the pain you endure. We know some stuff. How many know? We know some stuff. Listen, if you've been at this church for any length of time, you know some stuff because I'm a teacher and I teach. You know some stuff. But if we don't walk it out, we're still going to experience that pain. We're still going to experience the pain of broken relationships because we didn't put the truth we know into place. We're still going to experience the truth of financial hardship because we didn't put the truth we know into practice. We're still going to experience the pain of bitterness and separation because we didn't put the truth we know about forgiveness in practice. And so it's so good. The distance between the truth you know and the truth you live equals the pain you experience. So we need to get those. I know the truth. I walk the truth. And it truly sets us free. Amen? That's the word. And so when we're looking at our big rocks, you gotta decide for yourself what's important to you. What do you value? What do you value? 2 Corinthians 13:8 out of the New Living Translation says, our responsibility is never to oppose the truth, but to stand for the truth at all times. At all times. We need to make the word of God of value to us. A value. We need to determine what is most important. What is most important? A few weeks ago, or I don't remember when it was, maybe a few months ago, did a series, what is the best question ever? Is it the wise thing to do? And so we need to ask, what's important? Proverbs 29:18 out of the King James says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Another translation of that says, where there is no restraint, the people perish. Where there are no boundaries, the people perish. And here's why. Because when you have a vision for your life, when you have a vision, you have a picture of what you want, that vision puts boundaries on you. I have a vision from the day that I got married. Pastor Scott and I had a vision for our marriage. We had a determination of what we wanted and what we did not want. And that vision, That desire put boundaries on us. We said, we made a determination that we would not spend time apart. We made a determination that we would not put other people before one another. We made a determination that we would always put God first. And so those were our boundaries, that because they took us to our vision. When you don't have that, you easily just go over here. Like, oh, what's it gonna hurt? What's it gonna matter? We're all just here. We're all just living. You know, I can't stand when people act like that. It's like, get a grip. Life is real, and there is an enemy out there who is trying to rob, steal, and kill you. And he starts with what's most important to you. And usually it's always marriage. It's marriage, it's relationships. It's family situations. And so we got to have a vision for what we want, and it puts boundaries up. So then my actions line up with where I'm going. But if I don't have that vision, if I don't have that, then I'm just kind of all over the place. I'm all over the place, right? And so we got to have that vision set up. You got to get a look and say, man, I don't want to perish. I don't want my dream to perish. I want what God wants for me. Well, then do what God said and write it down. Amen? Determine what your values are. Determine what's important for you and put the rock where it goes. Put the rock where it goes. If it's really important to you, it'll be in here. It'll be in here because order determines priority. Determine what's important. The Bible says in Acts 20:24, it says, however, I consider my life worth nothing to me. If only I may finish the race and complete, listen, the task the Lord Jesus has given me. Man, what task has God given you? Well, number one, he's told us to be fishers of men. Amen? He's told us to reach out, to be ambassadors for Christ. Paul's writing there and he says, nothing else matters. I want to finish the race. Ephesians 5:15 and 17 says, be careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. He says, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Don't fall for the lie that says the Lord's will is a mystery. Oh, I don't know. God's a mystery. No, the Bible says very clearly, all through Scripture, you can know the will of God. Amen? You can know the will of God. And so when we're talking about order, we got to make sure we got those big rocks in there. We got to discover, man, what's important to me? What do I value? Listen, if you value your marriage, then you spend time with your marriage. You work on your marriage. If you value your relationship with your children, then spend time with them. Spend time with your kids. You can't buy them off. Amen? You can't buy kids off. If you value your relationship with your kids, then be 100%. Don't be fake. Don't be one way at church and one way everywhere else because you're going to goof them up. You're going to goof them up. If you value it, you got to put the rock where it goes. Amen? And you say, oh, but I got to have me time. Don't even get me started with that. Listen, you can have all this is me time. And you can have plenty of it and still put the big rocks in. Amen? Order determines capacity. So determine what is most important. And then the last thing here before we go, talking about these big rocks, when you're saying, well, what are my big rocks? Ask yourself, what do you value? What do you value? Determine what is most important and put it in first. It's got to go in first. And then the last thing. Decide who is most important. Decide who is most important. Matthew 22:37-40 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. As the law and all the prophets hang on these two commandments. So who do I love first? I got to love God. I got to love people, but I don't have, so often we're trying to love people without receiving the love of God first. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with everything. With everything. I don't hold anything back. I give it all to him. I love him, and I receive his love, and I love my neighbor, and I love myself. So often we're trying to do it out of order. I need me time. I need me time. Listen, if me time takes the place of God time, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. If me time takes the place of serving others and serving the body, it's not going to work. I got to love God, I got to love my neighbor, and I got to love myself. But I got to do it in the right order. Amen? And so lastly here, let's make sure when we decide who is most important, make relationships a priority. You know, I have a thing I heard years ago. I heard it years ago, and it's helped me so much through the years. I heard John Maxwell say it live and in person one day. I don't think I've ever read it in any of his books, but I physically, personally heard him say, the situation should never be more important than the relationship. Because so often we let things irritate, aggravate, annoy, and we let them separate relationships. You know, talking about family, because how many know family is annoying? Right? I mean, they're just annoying. Family can be just some of the most annoying people in the whole world. But what are you going to do? You got to love them. You got to love them. You got to pray for them. You got to be there. Family matters. And I understand that there are toxic situations, and I understand that there are some exceptions. I get that. But overall, a lot of the things that separate families is just stuff that's not near as important as the relationship. And so many times when something has happened with my family, you know, you're just like, I just remember that what John Maxwell said. The situation is not more important than the relationship. Relationships matter. God places people in our lives for a purpose and for a reason. Not because they're perfect, but because the relationship is necessary. It's needed. The Bible says that iron sharpens iron. But here's the thing. When iron is sharpening iron, sparks are flying. Some of the people that cause us to be sparky are the ones we need the most, right? It's like sometimes I look at people, I'm like, oh, you're sparky. You're sparky to me. But I need those people because they sharpen me. They sharpen me. And so when we're looking at our life, let's not let it just be filled with a bunch of fluff, a bunch of stuff that has no eternal value. Listen, as fun as Facebook might be, it has no eternal value. As entertaining as television and movies are, they do not have eternal value. Entertainment has a place in our lives, but it is not a big rock. It's not a big rock. It can be in our lives, but it can't be our whole life. And that's what the enemy's trying to do. He's trying to get us so disconnected from one another, so immersed in things that don't really matter, that we're leaving the big rocks out. And when you do that, you don't have the strength, you don't have the fulfillment that comes with putting God first. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, I pray for just everybody here, that Lord, that you would help all of us to evaluate our lives and make sure that we've got the big rocks in there. Lord, for those who are here that know the truth. You know the truth about the power of prayer. You know the truth about the power of giving. You know the truth about the power of spending time in God's presence. But we're leaving those rocks out because we're just letting life happen. Let's be purposeful about the order of our lives. Let's be the one who decides what goes in and the order that it does. Because, Lord, we know that you got big things for our life, and we need that. We need capacity to hold all the things that you're going to do in us and through us. Oh, thank you, Lord. Some of you just right now, you're like, I can't, I know God wants me to do this or do that, but you just keep saying over and over, you've got 100 reasons why it's not going to work. But I just want to encourage you, put those big rocks in, and you're going to see how, just like those grains of rice just filled every crack and every corner of that life, that jar. That's exactly what God wants to do. He's like, listen, you can't figure it out, but if you put the stuff in there in order, it'll all just fill and fill and fill, and it will happen. But you got to do it in God's order. Seek first his kingdom. Lord, we declare today that you are our priority. You are our first love. You are our first love. And we thank you that you help us to always maintain priority in our life. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I hope you got something out of this today. Next time you're saying, I don't have time. I mean, this is for me too. Next time I'm saying I don't have time to exercise, it would be like, oh, remember that little rock? It's not that I don't have time. I just don't want to. But I know it's important. Don't send me an email. I know it's important, and I need to do it. But let's put those next time, you know, you say, I know I went through a time where I was really, really struggling with making time for God with prayer, and I made a decision that I would never go to bed without praying. And there were so many times I would lay my head on my pillow and be like, oh, I haven't even prayed today. Now listen, this wasn't last week or anything. And I would make myself get up and go and pray because of the commitment that I made. And so listen, if that's what you got to do, you got to start where you're at. But do something. Amen. Let's do something, because God wants to fill our life with more than fluff. He wants to fill our life with some good stuff. Amen. The Bible even says that God wants to fill you with good things. Proverbs talks about he wants to fill you with good things. But if you're filled with a bunch of other stuff, there's no room. He wants to fill you with good stuff. Let's make room for him. So let's receive our offering. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to give.